Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in again today. I hope you were encouraged by the worship guide. I wanted to encourage you to go through the songs, sing together, whether you're by yourself or with others, pray, read the scriptures together, and then as you are listening to this sermon, hopefully being encouraged by God's good news of the gospel through Jesus, answer the sermon application questions after that. I hope you're encouraged with the good news of Jesus as we are continuing to love our neighbors well through COVID-19. And so today, what we're doing is we're in the second part of our series called God's People in a Pandemic. Last week, we talked about how Jesus gives a kingdom for the anxious, and we saw how Jesus addressed anxious people just like us who found themselves in the very same situations, facing the very same anxieties that we do, and how God gives his kingdom, his righteousness. And if we seek that, then all of these things, the joy and the peace and the life that we're looking for, are ultimately found in Jesus. So today we're in the second part of that series, and we're talking today about how God gives hope to the grieving. God gives hope to the grieving. And so we're going to be in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. But what I want to do before we jump in and get started is I want to pray for us. But I want to pray a prayer of lament. Recently, through an organization called United We Pray, they came out with a lament that just went through and dealt with this COVID-19 situation that we're in. So I want to take a moment to pray that. Then we'll jump into Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, and talk about how God gives hope to the grieving. Join me in praying. Oh, Father, our Father, we lament any death, suffering, or sickness caused by this pandemic. We grieve the anxiety and the loneliness that may be mounting in these disrupted times. We want to hear the gospel preached in churches, and we want to sing to you with our brothers and sisters. Will pulpits and pews keep on being empty? Will church halls not echo again with your promises? And yet, Father, in your mercy, you have not let this virus overcome us completely. You have let scores of people heal from it. You have brought new life in the midst of death. And so we turn to you in trust. We ask that those who don't know Jesus would come to know him. And we ask for those who are restless, that they would find Jesus. They would find rest in Jesus, who is gentle and lowly of heart. Oh, Lord, thank you for not letting us rest in our bank accounts or portfolios or our own wisdom or insights. These things may go up and down, and we too, like a flower of the grass that will pass away. Yet you care for us more than the grass of the field. And so we come to you in prayer in the name of our Lord and brother, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're, again, talking about hope for the grieving, how God gives hope for the grieving. And so if you're in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, we'll go ahead and take a moment to look at that. But real quickly, we all grieve. Grieving is something that isn't new to any of us. We know that grieving is its mourning loss and its sadness. Grieving is something that is a part of this broken world that we're in. Again, it's mourning and sadness due to loss. And many of us, we have grieved and are even grieving still in our lives due to many things already. We grieve because of maybe loss of loved ones, maybe miscarriages or just losing loved ones due to sickness and illness, maybe even some to COVID-19. We grieve because of loss caused by natural disasters, such as the cyclone that we're seeing in India and Bangladesh. Maybe right now you're grieving abuse. You're grieving oppression or injustice. Maybe we are continuing to grieve as we saw death, the death of a man who was slain on the street, a man named Ahmaud Arbery, due to racism and hatred just a few weeks ago. Maybe you're grieving because of the loss of your possessions or grieving over the loss of relationships. Maybe you've experienced broken friendships or broken relationships such as breakups or divorce. Maybe you're grieving over the loss of a business partnership of some sort. Again, we are people who grieve, and it seems as though we're always grieving something in this broken world. And so even now, as we think about the situation that we find ourselves in with COVID-19, we're grieving tons of things with that as well. Maybe it's grief on top of grief. Some of us, many of us, are grieving the loss of social contact, the different events and things that we partook of every single day of our lives, such as weddings and funerals, traveling different places around the world, gathering together weekly in churches to meet and to fellowship with one another, concerts, sporting events. We're grieving these things. Or maybe we're grieving the loss of social interactions with coworkers or students or teachers. Maybe many of you are grieving the loss of finances. Maybe we're grieving the loss of the world as we knew it. That things after this maybe just won't go back to the norm that we once loved and maybe took for granted. Perhaps we're grieving because of the uncertainty of the future. We just aren't sure what's going to happen tomorrow, even as Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6, how he encourages us not to worry about tomorrow. Maybe we're not sure what tomorrow looks like. Or maybe we're grieving because of the loss of the sense of our identity. Maybe something about this COVID-19 situation, maybe something about this pandemic has interrupted or jeopardized your life in such a way that maybe you just don't know who you are anymore. Maybe you don't know what it is that you're supposed to do. And so in some sense, you've lost your identity due to your life being interrupted or jeopardized by this pandemic. Whatever it is that you're grieving, even grieving through this particular situation, we can know that, again, we know that grief takes us through a flurry of emotions. Grief takes us through highs and lows. We hear about the stages of grief that we all seem to go through or find ourselves in. Maybe you're dealing with some of the effects or symptoms of those stages of grief right now. Things like anger or numbness or regret, sadness, depression. Maybe you're starting to take an upward turn and maybe you're just getting knocked down all over again. Those are the stages of grief, and you might be dealing with one or all of those things in your life right now. We are a people who grieve. But why? Why do we grieve? Have you ever thought about why it is that we grieve and we mourn over loss? Well, there are two reasons mainly that we can think of, maybe more. We grieve because we know that this world isn't how it's supposed to be. Grief, it always shocks us. It sends us spinning and mourning and plunging us into sadness, depression, and despair. Sometimes we know it's coming, but it still hurts. It still overwhelms us. We know, something within us knows that we shouldn't grieve. We shouldn't have to grieve, and yet we do. The second thing is that grief hurts. We mourn and we grieve because loss hurts. It brings with it a very real pain, a very real stinging to our souls. So we grieve because loss hurts. Well, the Bible talks a lot about grief. It talks about how people like you and I can deal with grief in our lives and what we can do with it. It expresses and it contains expressions of emotions, raw, real human emotions within its pages, through its figures in their lives. And so Lamentations is a book about grief. It's a collection of lyrics written by the prophet Jeremiah during a time when God's people Israel were facing exile. They were exiled after their capital city, Jerusalem, was destroyed by Babylon. And Babylon was destroyed by the Babylonians, but ultimately it was God who was behind the destruction of Jerusalem, sending his people into exile because of their sin. And so now we see in the book of Lamentations, as the prophet Jeremiah is recording, that they are grieving. And they've even brought this grief on themselves. And so, look, I'll just go ahead and speak to it. I don't know if this pandemic that you and I are experiencing, I don't know if it is a judgment from God on something specific in this world. I don't have any specific visions or insight as to whether or not it might be connected to something specific, some particular evil that goes on. This world is full of evil in it, and sin and wickedness. It might be a judgment from God on wickedness. But then again, it might not be. It might not be in the sense that it correlates or is directly tied to some specific sin. See, things like pandemics and poverty and prejudice and pain, they all exist in this world because they're all effects of, if not directly, products of sin. Pandemics and poverty and prejudice and pain exist in this world ultimately because of sin, the disobedience of our first parents back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. They rejected God. They chose themselves to rule over themselves instead of God. And so as a result, Romans 8 tells us that God has subjected this world into futility. Not willingly, but he has subjected it in the hope that it would be redeemed. And so as a punishment for the sin of Adam and Eve, God has subjected this world into sin. And that's why we experience the chaos and the calamity and the darkness that we see going on around us. Pandemics exist because of sin. The sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, their sin, your sin, and my sin. And so instead of us looking to try to be like Jeremiah and be the prophet of the hour and looking for the deeper cause of what this pandemic might be directly connected to, we can be like Jeremiah and grieve and mourn because this world experiences the things that it does because of sin. We can grieve over the sin that we commit and the sin that is committed against us. The Bible tells us, and even books like Lamentation tell us, that sin is that serious. It is that serious, brothers and sisters. Whether we can clearly trace a line directly to this pandemic from national sin or personal sin or global sin, sin is the reason that we experience these things in this world. Sin is the reason that we grieve. And so the book of Lamentations, it describes real grief. Just take a look at chapter 3. We're not going to read through all of it, but the prophet Jeremiah talks about grief. He paints a picture of grief, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like in verses 1 through 18. And so we're just going to go through these verses real quickly and see what grief looks like and sounds like to Jeremiah. Starting with verse 1, he says that grief looks like and sounds like this. It looks like seeing affliction, seeing brokenness and affliction and pain and hurt. Grief looks like and it feels like being punished. Grief feels like being pushed away, driven away, even by God. Grief feels like walking in darkness. It feels like God is against you. Sometimes grief feels like physical weariness, a heavy burden that's been placed on you that you can't even get out of bed some mornings because it's so heavy. Grief feels like being ambushed or encircled by bitterness, attacked by it. Grief feels like being walled in, imprisoned, chained up in your own soul, drowning in pain and loss. Sometimes grief feels and sounds like being blocked out and ignored by God. It looks like stumbling and being misguided, maybe on a crooked path. Sometimes grief feels like being deprived of your peace, destroyed, even humiliated, as Jeremiah goes on to say when he says that you have ground my teeth with gravel and you have made me to cower in the dust. Grief feels like humiliation. It feels like regret and hopelessness. That's what he means when he says that my future is lost as well as my hope. Sometimes grief feels like homelessness. We look around and we once trusted this world, life as we knew it. But when we experience loss, when things are taken away from us and we mourn and we experience that pain, we feel like we just can't trust things as we know it anymore. And so we find ourselves hopeless, looking for hope, looking to find rest. That's what grief feels like. That's what grief sounds like. And that's the picture that Jeremiah paints for us in Lamentations of grief, of a world plagued by people who are affected with grief. And so Jeremiah goes on and he tells us two things that we can do with grief. He does two things here with grief. The first thing that he does is that he puts words to it. Jeremiah puts words to his grief. He describes it. He doesn't hold it in. He doesn't suppress it. He doesn't ignore it. But he lets it flow out of him with words. He names what he's feeling and he names what he's lost. He names what he's feeling and he names what he's lost. The second thing that he does with grief here is that he goes to God with his grief and he goes to God with his emotions. He goes to God with his grief and he goes to God with his emotions. So real quickly, brothers and sisters, what do you do with grief? What do you do with your grief? Has your grief made its way into words? Are you holding it in, looking to suppress it? Looking to ignore it and forget it's there, to just press on and move on? Or has your grief made its way into words? Have you named what you've lost in this pandemic? Have you identified it? Have you called out the emotions that you are experiencing? Are you trying to optimistically push your way through grief, trying to ignore it? If so, why? Why is that your strategy? How is that working for you? Even more, have you gone to God with your grief? Have you gone to God with your grief? Have you told God how you really feel? Raw, honestly, openly. Have you gone to God and have you told him how you really feel as you are processing through your grief? About this situation, this pandemic, what it's caused, what it's taken from you, what it's saddled you with concerning a new burden that you experience. So in the book of Lamentations, and even the entire Bible tells us that God's people can go to God with our grief. We are grieving people, and we can go to God with our grief at all times, both in the grief that we've committed and contributed to, and the grief that we've experienced. It's been thrown on us surprisingly. We can go to God honestly with our grief and in our grief. And so let's see two things here that God's people can do with our grief. We want to just see two things here today that God's people can do with our grief. In verses 19 through 24. Firstly, look at verses 19 through 20. The first thing that we can do with our grief is to remember our grief. Remember grief. Jeremiah says, "Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed." Now that first remember, it could be talking about how he sees that God remembers his grief and affliction, but most likely it's talking about Jeremiah remembering his grief and affliction. Some of you see that in your Bibles as a footnote at the Bible, at the bottom where it says, "I have remembered my grief." So listen, one of the things that we typically do with grief, if we're really honest, one of the things that we typically do with it is that we try to forget it. We try to ignore it. We try to forget about it and get over it. Maybe right now, as you're grieving, maybe you don't want to admit that it's as bad as it really is. You're just wanting to get right back into society, to jump back into the world as you knew it, for things to get back to normal, to just go back to the way things were before. Maybe we say that, listen, I am so over COVID-19 right now and all the grief that it's caused me, all the loss that it's put me through, the loneliness, the anxiety, the distancing, and everything around me being shut down. And you're just ready to move on. You're like that meme where you put yourself 10 years later, 10 years from now, and you're thinking about 2030, and there's that meme that shows up online where it says that you visit the grocery store and your cashier rings up your bill and it says $20.20 and 2020, and instantaneously you're like that little dog in that meme whose eyes are just shot, and everything around you, you just have these visions and hallucinations of hand sanitizer and toilet paper and empty shelves and hunger strikes and food pandemics and all kinds of things. Man, that's some of us right now. We find ourselves wanting to just forget about it and get over the grief. But listen, Jeremiah tells us that as God's people, we can remember our grief. We should remember our grief. And we can remember two things about grief as we are thinking about it and processing through it. Firstly, we can remember that grief is a part and a product of this sinful world that we live in. Grief is a part and a product of this sinful world that we live in. It's not something that we ever get used to, brothers and sisters. And that's a good thing. Our hearts weren't made to get used to grief. You might feel like you're used to it. But again, with every wave of grief that drowns our souls because of loss and mourning, again, it hurts. It's painful. We're not numb to it. We feel it, and we should. That's not how this world was intended to be when God created it. Grief is a part and a product of this sinful world that we live in. The second thing that we can remember is that we can't conquer grief or anything that causes grief on our own. We can't conquer grief on our own, just like any other sin or byproduct of it. We need help. We need hope. We need life and assistance, deliverance, if we are going to see grief conquered, if we are truly going to move past it. Jeremiah, he's recounted and remembered his grief and where it's led him, to depression. He's not ignoring what's happening in him, and he's not trying to suppress these things. He's looking grief in the face. He's facing it head on, and he's saying, listen, I'm not okay right now. It is not okay right now. I am truly grieving. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. That's what he's saying here. And he's also not turning in on himself and in his depression, and he's not coldly turning away from God in his grief. No, he's mourning and grieving towards God. He is turning towards God with his grief and in his grief. Jeremiah shows us that whatever stage of grief that we find ourselves in, brothers and sisters, we can remember our grief and we can move towards God with our grief. And why can we move towards him? Because he can handle it. He can handle our grief. He's not caught off guard by it. He's not going to hit you with the passive silence that doesn't really understand your grief. And he's not going to hit you with the hollow assurances that tell you that it's okay, it's going to be all right, or it's not really that bad, or you can just get over it. You're stronger than that. God's not going to hit you with either of those hollow responses. No, brothers and sisters, we can go to a real God who can handle real grief. We can go to a real God who can handle real grief and the messiness of it. Messy grief. You can bring it before him. You can trust him with it. You can know that he will hear and he will heal. The next thing that Jeremiah shows us is that when we go to God and remember our grief, we can express it through lament. When we go to God and remember our grief, we can express it through lament. I've quoted this this professor before, and this pastor, Dr. Soon Chong Ra, and we've talked about grief before, and he says this. He wrote a book called Prophetic Lament. That's a great book that you should get. You should read it, especially during times like these. But in that book, he says this about grief. Lament is the language of suffering. Lament is the language of suffering. So think about that for a moment, brothers and sisters. Think about that. Does your suffering have a language? Does your grief have a language? Does your suffering have a language, and does your grief have a language? See, when we think about our grief, most times we know that it has a face, however frowning it is or however faked it is. And grief has feelings. Our grief has a face and it has feelings, but does it have a language? Are there words that you can use to describe it? See, that's what lament offers. That's what biblical lament offers. See, through lament, brothers and sisters, we can mourn. We can complain honestly and openly before God. And in lament, our focus isn't on trying to produce these clean, smooth theological prayers where we just pray out of our right knowledge about things, and we try to dot our I's correctly and cross our T's and make sure our prayers are put together so well and collected. No, grief is going to God honestly, in the raw, bringing our complaints, our angers, our fears, our anxieties, our despair before him. It's asking him the hard questions that we can't answer because we can't answer them. That's what lament is. It's about pouring out the heaviness and the weariness of our souls to God about the sin that affects us. That affects us personally, the sin that affects others, and the sin that plagues and affects this world that we live in. That's what it means to lament, to pour out your soul with the heaviness of the sin that affects you. Lament, if it could be summarized in a language per se, it's a question that I've been thinking about just over the last few months to the last few years, and how it can be summarized. Lament, it could be summarized in this question that the psalmist in Psalm 13 asks. He says, how long, O Lord? That's the question that lament can be summarized in. How long, O Lord? How long is this going to go on? How long is sin going to plague this world in this way? How long am I going to be affected by my own personal sin and by the sin that is seen so often and frequently in this world? How long, O Lord? The psalmist goes on to say, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Listen, what does it look like for you to ask that question, how long, in this season of pandemic, and your grief and your anxieties and your fears? What does it look like for you to lament in this way? Have you ever gone to God like that, brothers and sisters? If not, what keeps you from going to God like that? Why do you try to forget grief? Why do we try to ignore it and suppress it? Let's dig into that. Is it because of fear? We're worried that if we really put it on the table like it really is, our fear might be exposed. We might really see that we're afraid, that we're not in control. We don't know what to do, and we don't know where to turn. That's what lament provides a solution to. We can turn to God. Or maybe it's because of pride. We don't want to admit that we're not in control. And lament would be to confess that we don't have it all together, that we aren't sure how to deal with this, that we're not exactly sure what tomorrow looks like or who and what the answers really are. Pride and fear keep us from lamenting. Listen, repent, turn from those things, and go to this God who can hear and can heal if we bring our lament, our cries before Him. Listen, lament, it doesn't just have to be about our own personal fears and our own worries and our own sin. But when we lament, we can look not just inside at ourselves and the things that affect us, but out at the world around us. We can move from personal to societal lament. Listen, what's happened in your soul in this season of pandemic where you've seen how this doesn't just affect our country as 9/11 did, but you're seeing how this affects people all around the globe directly. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's experiencing the loss. Everybody's experiencing the shortages and the isolation and the fear and the worry, the sickness, the virus. How do you respond when you see the brokenness of this world all around us and the death tolls? Or even outside of this pandemic, through injustices and things like racism, or the murder and the abuse of the innocent, the unborn, the fragility and the instability of our governments and maybe our leaders who we place our hopes in, the brokenness of our systems. Do you lament about these things? Or are you just lamenting over your personal sin and struggles? I encourage you to not just look inward, but look outward and grieve the sin that plagues this world. That's what we do as God's people. The gospel gives us a true sense of who God is. But it also gives us a true sense of this world that we live in, a clear perspective. And in seeing that, not just seeing our sin and how deep and dark it is, but we see the sin that plagues this world, we can lament and mourn and grieve because we see how offensive that is to God. We see how destructive it is to us and to this world. And brothers and sisters, we can mourn and grieve like nobody else. But as 2 Thessalonians says, we don't grieve in the same way as everybody else. We grieve with hope because our hope is in seeing and knowing that God will renew all things. And He's already started that process in us. Do you lament not just personally, but societally? Listen, God's people lament. We lament and we grieve over the ways that sin affects all of us in this world. So we need to remember our grief, and we also need to remember, and we need a language of lament. We need to remember our grief, but we also need a language of lament. So brothers and sisters, to jump to the gospel, God doesn't just listen to our griefs and lament, He speaks it. He feels grief and lament. Christianity, it shows us and it gives us a God who grieves. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6 says that the Lord was deeply grieved when He saw the sinfulness and the constant evil of humans in this world prior to the flood. Jesus, when He comes into this world, God's Son who is sent on a mission to save us, He grieves. Even though He has the power to raise the dead, He grieves over the death of His friend Lazarus. Even when He knows He's going to raise him up, it still hurt. He still mourned. He grieves, Jesus grieves while His body, His own body, is nailed to the cross as He's dying, racked with real physical pain, real affliction. But even more than that, racked with the burden and the penalty and the punishment for our sin. And on the cross, he recites the lament of Psalms 22. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? God knows grief, brothers and sisters. Your God knows grief. He knows what it's like. He's a high priest who empathizes with us in our weaknesses. He's familiar with it. That's why you can go to him. He understands your grief like nobody else. But God doesn't just speak the language of lament. He doesn't just bear the burden of the grief that we all bear. He can actually do something about it. And on the cross is where we see that God does do something about grief and the sin that causes it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 says that Jesus bore our griefs on his body, in his body, as he hung there and was sacrificed in our place for our sins. And because of his sacrificial death on the cross and his powerful resurrection, he will one day eliminate grief and its causes forever, once and for all, when he makes all things new, including us. Sin and death will be no more. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain anymore, as the book of Revelation says. This is how God encounters you, real humans, by a real God. This is how he encounters us in our grief, brothers and sisters. The gospel tells us where we can go in our grieving. So listen, when we remember our grief, we can lament and we can bring it to a God who gives us real hope. Real hope. Let's move on. The second thing that we can see here is, in addition to remembering grief, is remembering God. Look at verses 21 through 24. We remember grief and then we remember God. And that's where the eyes of Jeremiah's soul now turn to in the midst of his depression. He says this, "Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now, we know that, and we see that lament's meant to turn our grieving hearts towards God, who gives us a real hope in the midst of grief. But so often, right, if we're really honest, our hearts don't often turn to God in the midst of our grief. When it comes to hope, so often we look for hope in so many other and lesser things. We turn towards so many different things looking for hope, looking for them to deliver us a positive outcome, things that don't actually deliver. Again, even now, it's tempting for us to place our hope, right, in all kinds of things, even good things, God-given things, such as our human ingenuity, the knowledge of science and technology and good leadership. We look to all these things for hope, to remove the weight of grief that's been placed on us in the midst of this pandemic. We might be looking to economic power, our economic power as a country, as a society, as a world, to overcome this setback that we've all faced. We might be looking to the hope of better leadership or a stronger healthcare system, the hope of a unified government that will just get on the same page and then we'll be okay. We place our hope in so many different things, brothers and sisters. And as great as all of those things are, even again, as gifts from God, they aren't God. They aren't God. And there's a difference in between trusting in him for his gifts and what he gives and trusting in him for who he is. God's people do the latter. We see God for who he is and who he has revealed himself to be, and we trust. We trust him. We're people who don't even need to pit these types of things against God. We just see that they aren't him. He is where our ultimate hope lies. And in none of these things, the things of this world, we see that that's not where true hope is found. See, brothers and sisters, true life-sustaining hope in the midst of pandemics and suffering in this world is found in a God who is faithfully committed to his people. I'll say that again. True life-sustaining hope in the midst of pandemics and suffering is found in God who is faithfully committed to his people. And when you and I remember how painful our grief is, how painful our suffering is, we can remember and see in a much greater way how committed our God is. That's hope. That's what God offers to all who believe and trust in him. That's what God offers to his people. Look at verse 22. We're just going to see this sandwich of hope real quick. In the middle of it, you see that we won't perish. Jeremiah says that. He says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. Sandwich bread number one, because of God's committed love for us, we won't perish. Sandwich bread number two, we won't perish because his mercies never end. We will not perish. You will not be hopeless. Even if you die physically, even if you contract this virus, even if you hunger or thirst, even if you go without resources, you will not perish, follower of Jesus, because of God's committed love for you, because his mercies will never end. They are new every morning. If your hope is in God, brothers and sisters, that sandwich is served to your soul each and every day. Every day, God's mercy is there for your weakness. Even your new weaknesses, your new griefs, new mercies. Every day, his love is ready to heal and hear your grief, your pain. Jeremiah, he's saying this about people who brought this grief on themselves, but whether or not you contributed to your grieving, or whether you've experienced grief from this sinful world that we live in, the same thing is true. God loves you. God loves you, and he's not going anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. Even in the midst of pandemics and suffering and pain and all of the things that we see around us, God is in control. He hasn't gone anywhere. Great is your faithfulness. So listen. So often we come into situations like these and we think that God has forgotten us, brothers and sisters. We think that God's forgotten us in our grieving. Listen, Lamentations and the entire Bible, it tells us and it assures us of this, that God's love for us, all those who have trusted in the perfect work of his son Jesus, God's love for us isn't based on if we feel like God is near us or far from us. It's not based on whether we experience suffering or a suffering-free life. God's love for us and his mercy towards us isn't based on how we feel and how we wake up every single morning. Whether or not his mercies feel tangible in that moment, God's love and his mercy towards us is based on himself, his character, and his commitment to us. That's what it means that he is faithful. Not because of anything in you, what you can or haven't done. Not because of your abilities or your strength or your resources. God loves us because he is love. God is committed to us because he is faithful. We talked about this when we went through the book of Ruth and Jonah, God's steadfast love. It's this kind of love that says, listen, I love you because I love you. And that is a balm for our grieving. We are not left alone in our grief, in our very real grief, and in our very real emotions and pain. Listen, brothers and sisters, God is enough. In this moment, Jeremiah remembers this truth for God's people, that God is my portion. God is my portion. This is the truth that Jeremiah remembers for God's people. He's where I can take my grief. He's where my heart can find rest, even in the restlessness of this pandemic. There's nothing and no one who will be as merciful, faithful, powerful, and preserving in our grief. There's no one who's going to do that better and do more for us in that way than God. Listen, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is enough for your grief? Do you believe that God is enough? And he's enough in your grief. See, we might not say it with our mouths, but if we're honest, sometimes we find more comfort in God's ability to fix the present situation, his power, his ability to fix things and put it all back together. We have more trust in that than in God himself. But listen, the best thing that he can give us in the middle of seasons like this, the best thing that God can do for us in the midst of pandemics isn't to supernaturally blow the wind of God on COVID-19. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The best thing that God can do for us isn't erasing our minds and causing us to forget what actually grieves us in the first place. The best thing that He can do for us isn't fixing all the problems around us or giving us a suffering-free, pandemic-free world right now. Listen, the best thing that God can give us in seasons and moments like this is Himself. Himself. A good friend of mine posted this week, a guy named Raphael Mancandala. He posted this on Facebook and on social media. He said, "God's nearness is my treasure. God's nearness is my treasure." That's what the people of God say in the midst of our grief. God's being near, my being in Christ, my union with Him is enough. That's what I treasure. Even if the world is never okay again, even if my dreams and hopes in this world and in this life are shattered as I know it, I still have hope because I have God. And like the kingdom of heaven, I will sell everything that I have for this pearl of great price because it's enough. I'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness because all of these things, the peace that I need, the joy that I need, the life that I need in my grief will be added to me because God promises and is faithful and is committed to His people. And so that's what God does, brothers and sisters. He makes Himself our portion. He gives Himself to us. And God's giving Himself to us and His never-ending commitment to us is most clearly displayed in Jesus. See, in Him, God shows His love for us, and that while we were sinners, while we were hopeless, while we were grieving and mourning and impacted and affected by the chaos and craziness of this broken and sinful world, Christ died for us. He was sent to be our sacrifice. Jesus comes into this world as the love and mercy of God displayed supremely in the flesh. And He empathizes with us in our grief. And He's the only one who can protect our soul from grief's destructive effects, the depression and the despair. And then even more than that, Jesus lays His life down. He gives it up for sinful, grief-stricken, and hopeless people so that we might have and experience true hope and true life in this broken world. How amazing is that? King Jesus is the good news that grief will not reign forever, brothers and sisters. In your heart or in your mind, even if it's always present in this world, He is the assurance that grief will not have the last word over your life right now, however you're grieving, whatever you're mourning, whatever you've lost. He is the assurance that it will be restored. Do you trust Him? Do you believe this Jesus? Believe Him when He says and when He displays that God is eternally, faithfully, and lovingly committed to you. And Jesus Himself, He offers the crushing of the cause behind all our grief. And He offers us this. He offers us an unending, resurrected life with God in a renewed creation. And that's a greater hope, brothers and sisters, than the unstable and ever-changing hope in the things of this world. Listen, that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. God is our inheritance. God is our portion. He's our source for everything. We have God, and He is enough. Ask yourself this today. Do you want Him? Does your heart desire Him? Because that's one of the first things of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We desire God. We have God, and He is enough. Even if I lose everything, even if my strength and my heart may fail, God is my portion forever, as Psalm 73 says. When our eyes have seen and believed in the supreme love of God displayed in His Son on the cross, in His perfect life lived in our place, and in His sacrificial death and powerful resurrection, we get God. We see His steadfast love and faithfulness to us. We see that He's done that in the greatest way possible by giving His Son. And then our hearts are transformed to see that He is enough for us. He grieves with us, but he promises to remove our grief one day, fully and finally. And Jesus is our hope of that assurance. Listen, brothers and sisters, thanks for tuning in again today. I hope you're encouraged by this message. Please know that we're praying for you, even as things are starting to change a little bit in our society with things reopening. We love you. We want you to know that we're praying for you in your grief, whatever that is that you might be experiencing. Join us on our Zoom call this afternoon if you're a subscriber to our email list. Go visit the website and give us your email if you want to join that email list and find out more about our updates and things that will be happening here around West End. So thanks for tuning in again. I pray that you are encouraged by the good news about Jesus today. Go in peace. May God bless you and keep you. Grace and peace to you. All right, have a good one.